as I wake up with the morning.
It's never going to go away. Amen. It's just the same yesterday, today, forever. It is there and applied. And what a comfort it is to know that it's not up to me to be able to keep it, but it's up to the eternal Lord. Amen. And thank God that he's never going to change. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22. Book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22, in the Word of God. This is a very famous passage of Scripture, especially when it comes to teaching and preaching to young people, whether it's at camp, whether it's at youth conferences, things along that line. And I can remember growing up and going to many of those type of things, youth revival meetings and all of that. And this particular verse and passage of Scripture was taught and preached. And I'm going to remind us of the way that it is taught and preached. But then there's something that I want to apply unto the church tonight, and I hope that it'll be a help to. If you don't mind standing for the reading of the Word of God, Ezekiel 22 and verse number 29, as we take a look at this. The Bible says in verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. From this passage of Scripture, in using verse number 30, I'm going to preach on this subject and try to make it personal. About standing in your gap. Everybody in here has a gap that you need to stand in. And we can talk in general, especially when it's going on in our country today and the craziness on the political scene and all that kind of stuff and the moral scene and all of that. And we can say, boy, we need people to stand in the gap. Well, what about you? What about you personally? I mean, it's easy to tell the preacher to stand in his gap, me to say that, but what about you? We're going to take a look at that tonight, and hopefully it'll be a help to you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we could come unto you. And, oh, God, I just thank you that you're my Father. And thank you that you allow me to come boldly unto the throne of grace, not because of me, but because of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I am complete in him and because I am in Christ, I can walk right into the throne room. And I do that now and ask you for an unction from the Holy Ghost, an unction from the Holy Spirit, because this tongue cannot say what needs to be said. This mind cannot think what needs to be thought, and this heart cannot portray what needs to be put forth. But, oh God, you can, and so I give you this vessel emptied of myself. And ask you to fill it with you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. As we come to this passage of Scripture, we can take a look back in the setting of this verse in verse number 30 and find out where Israel is in their spiritual state and their political state. And it's not very good. If you look at verse number 23, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation." The spiritual decline that we are introduced to in this passage of Scripture is first pointed out with the land in which they live. We see here, first of all, that it is a dirty land. It says in verse 24 that it's a land that's not cleansed. And I think